This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome back, everyone, to Design Huddle. Today, we are talking about web design. In particular, we're going to be looking at some of the winners from the awards. If you're not familiar with awards, it's a professional web design and development competition body. So think of it as like a website award that you get. A lot of design agencies, individual developers, designers, etc. Full disclosure, I was on the jury for the past 3 years. I took a year off, but it's an awesome organization. It brings together, you know, some of the best web developers, designers, and agencies around the world. So the way that it works is they review on a series of criteria. So we'll talk about that criteria a little bit. And we'll also just show like some cool, really cool. The thing I like about this is people submit sites that are super innovative. So there's different categories we're going to take a look at. I'm sharing my screen now so you can take a look at them. But they're typically reviewed on a series of categories: design, usability, creativity, content, mobile friendliness, and developer. So a lot of these are, some of these are new in that you can see them kind of ticking up, and they're on a 1 to 10 scale. Mm-hmm. So in the past, it was, I think, only 3 or 4 metrics, but of late, they've made mobile first and developer, which is basically like performance and everything else that goes along with building like a good website from like a technical standpoint. So really cool criteria. So as a, just like peeling back the curtain for a second, while on the jury, my job was to review a site, you know, spend like 15 to 30 minutes looking at a site, going through the usability, looking at the design, looking at how creative I thought it was in comparison to other submissions that I've seen. And then I would give it a score and give feedback. But it's not just me. It's like the review body. So there's hundreds of people that are on the jury that kind of do this and review sites. And it's really cool. You see some really great examples. I've seen some of my favorite websites have come from this. So if you haven't checked it out, it's awards with 3 W's, like www. So check it out. It's a great place to get inspired and learn more. Cool. So this first one is from Wax Poetics. It's by Wonderland from the Netherlands. This was the site of the day on April 5th, 2021. So it was the site of the day very recently. Was that 2 days ago? From when we're recording this. These are some screenshots. So we can go on the actual website too, which is what I'll do real quick. I'll open the tab up and we can talk through it. Mustafa, have you ever heard of awards? Are you familiar with this at all? Is this new to you?
Yeah, I actually spoke at one of the events just before lockdown hit. Like it was 2020, like February, when they had their event in Amsterdam. So that was the last proper travel I went to. So yeah, I know of awards, and I've also written a couple of books. Didn't we write? We wrote an article together to get right for one of their books. It's been so long.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure we authored something.
Yeah, no, we've worked with them before. It's a really cool organization. So this is
the event was really fun.
Yeah, it's cool. What was your talk on again?
I was like, you know, my usual spiel of designing for speed, designing for friction. But yeah, no, it was a really, really cool audience. I like performing, as it were. That's what I give talk in Europe, because they understand my sense of humor. When I've tried to take it in other parts, like to Turkey, I died on stage. I think they wanted to throw tomatoes at me in Turkey, and these are my kinsmen. They're like, no, you're rubbish. We don't understand your humor. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, no, I totally hear you. So...
Oh, thanks. Sorry, I'm just being sarcastic. So yeah, what is Wax Poets? Do we is it
no? So that, I was just gonna say that. So from the landing page, it looks like we're working with some sort of music publisher, mainly because we get hit with a paywall. not my favorite user experience, but I'm also realistic that, you know, it's tough. It's tough for, you know, journalists to be able to turn a profit and pay their staff. So like, I'm all for encouraging people to pay for high quality content, but not a big fan of throwing the paywall right when you land.
Well,
but
this is the challenge of the web, because it started off as every, like Tim's Burnley, when he was doing his stuff, he wanted to make everything for free. This is the challenge. Not that the thing that has never been solved is, how do you monetize for like professionals, right? Like professional journalists, professional musicians, you know, that's been the biggest UX challenge for everything. For writers, it's been the hardest forever, because it's just, I don't know why, it's like people expect it for free and they shouldn't. But yeah, I think we've been conditioned to get for free. That's why we hate paywalls.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I think it's a necessary evil, for lack of a better word. Like, I think it's something that, you know, that's where the internet's going. Another thing that I'm a big fan of, that I've seen concept designs for, is microtransactions. So rather than like paying for a subscription, if you like an article, imagine there's like a little money sign that's connected to whatever, your digital wallet. And you could basically drop like 10 cents, 5 cents to a publisher or creator if they make good content. So think about it, like, for example, if you had a YouTube account and you could put $10 credit on every time you upvoted, or like, you know, thumbs up a video, that creator would get, you know, 1 cent or 5 cents or 10 cents. Similar to what they do with streaming today, but a little bit more, less friction, so creators and web publishers can get, you know, easily monetize their content. But with all of that, let's dive in. Wax Poetics looks like it's a music thing. So I think part of this is we should figure out what it is right from the start. So it's a music pub. This is kind of cool. So this read the article is following my cursor around, and it's like turning the photo like negative, which I've actually never seen this before. Have you ever seen something like this?
Yeah. I'm going to be really harsh. Those crappy Photoshop filters, which I really hate. And the thing is, I hate scroll hijacking, like mouse hijacking. It was cool in the Flash days when you could do a custom cursor, but
yeah, because you can, once you drop into this white box, it kind of transitions off. But in terms of site design, you know, strong hero image, and probably it's cool guy playing like, I don't know, what is that, the trumpet?
That's John Coltrane.
Yeah, John Coltrane. Yeah, famous, the famous 1960s musician.
I'm saying that as if I recognize him. I really don't. I'm just I'm reading the actual name.
Yeah, like, we'll check them out after. They have a podcast, so they're promoting their podcast. We'll have to check that out. Maybe get them on Design Huddle. Yeah, I mean, it's a cool site. I mean, it's like, for being a digital publisher, it's got, definitely has a lot more like personality than traditional like news sites. Visuals, you know, they're leaning heavily on visuals. Only really kind of highlighting the articles. They're really pushing, you know, a handful. They're subscriptions, so obviously that's a big business goal. We're almost halfway down the first page, and there's been 3 or 4 different subscription buttons. And then there's actually gets into the articles. It seems like a really cool like idea. It looks like they just Wax Poetics just kind of focus on.
It looks like old school
musicians.
Old school music, it looks by the looks of things. Maybe predominantly black music, I'm guessing, because I think I saw Marvin Gaye, Bob Marley, and obviously John Coltrane. So it looks like that kind of time period of music. So obviously the photography there is always going to be a wonderful and atmospheric. So like, there's an image of like Bob Marley in one of the articles. And so there's that. The thing is, it's almost, you can always win when you have one of these if you have these beautiful photographs. The challenge then becomes, once you lead with these beautiful photographs, is how you do the rest of the layout. There's a lot of white lines, which I don't even think is necessary. Like, that's the things, like, in a sense, using dividing lines is always a bit of a cop-out, because you can get away with, like, negative space. It feels like they're afraid that people won't know that this is the header, but it's like, you don't really need it. I think it's, like, unnecessary detail. Because most people will be focused on the image rather than thinking, is this a button? You know, it's like, but yeah, I mean, when you have these kind of powerful images, like, you can be really simplistic with the layout. They do all the work for you.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the line is a little jarring to me. I actually think it would be cooler for the menu to kind of fade in the top. It also drops when you scroll down and kind of fades out. But things I like so far is I love the heavy visuals, especially with like iconic artists. I think that's super cool. The font, like the font choice is like very bold. I'm actually really into it. I think it says a lot about like the personality of the publisher.
Yeah.
And I actually like this design feature. There's like this red thread that goes across a lot of the text. I think it's cool because it ties together the articles and almost like the site branding in a very subtle way. So it adds a little extra character. And then in terms of like the actual body, it's just pretty much a standard news article. They have text and then they embed images. The only thing I don't love so far is there's a lot of pop-ups and like, you know, modals and whatnot to subscribe. I think like, you know, and I have to accept cookies. It's just a lot of extra stuff that's happening behind the scenes. I get all of it, but at the same time, it's like, my biggest issue with subscribing and paying is like, let me consume, like, let me read an article, let me feel out the brand if I'm a first-time user. And then if I'm a return visitor, I think that's when you can like, you know, really start to say, hey, now that you're coming back, you know, we're an independent publisher. It's, you know, getting subscriptions is really important to us. And then you can connect the dots. So that's the only thing that's been a little that I don't love so far.
Yeah.
Is the, you know, all of the additional motion and overlays kind of popping up as I'm going through this. Anything else you've noticed?
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing that's Helvetica because of the symmetry of the type of the logo. I mean, to be honest, it just looks like a very generic magazine. Like, if you imagine what is a magazine, this would probably be what you come up with.
So you don't seem very impressed.
It looks like it's borrowing heavily from print design, like in terms of like typography and whatnot. Would I say it's the most amazing website? Not really. It's the visuals, the images are basically doing all the heavy lifting. Like even the that's Marvin Gaye, right? Like if you go to the awards site, the most of the screenshot is a picture of Marvin Gaye. So it's I hope that's Marvin Gaye. I'm not that. I wouldn't think it's like the most amazing piece of design. It's basically the magazine online. Sorry, I'm being, without trying to be too negative, but and by the way, I'd like to preempt that my own personal site is terrible.
Yeah, that's always what happens, right? When designers are critiquing design like sites. And I think like, you know, listen, like if you're on this website and you're scoring 7 out of 10, you're in the top 5% of web design out there. So we're kind of, in my eyes, we're really reviewing the best of the best in terms of websites, just to kind of set the expectation here. If you look at the web across the board,
yeah,
if you're shown on awards, in my opinion, you're definitely in the top echelon in terms of web design. So yeah, we're critiquing the best for good reason, right? Like no one is critiquing minor league baseball players. They're critiquing people in like actually playing in the major leagues. So this is the major leagues.
Yeah, no one's critiquing my website. All three viewers and two of them are me. Yeah, no. I mean, this is like the cliche, though. It's like designing for yourself is so hard. And also, you have no time. It's like they say the shoemaker's kids always walk around barefoot because they're too busy making shoes for other people. That's my excuse.
No, anyway. I think that makes sense. I clicked the wrong one. I wanted to get into... go back to some of the other winners. And if we're trying to be as descriptive as possible, so I know a lot of you are probably watching on YouTube. If you're listening, we'll try to be more descriptive on the next one. But as a reminder, we're on the site awards. You can go into the award-winning categories. So we're kind of just checking out a few and reviewing. I wanted to jump into a different category. Is there any category that you wanted to do, like that you think would be particularly interesting?
It'd be nice to check out just Japan. It's almost like this is Street Fighter 2. We just choose the countries, like, yeah, you know, sites fighting against each other.
There was a Japan site on the landing page.
Japanese designs always intrigued me, because I've worked with Japanese designers before, and so they will forever blow my mind.
So now we're looking at Pola 2029 Vision by Mount Inc. This site comes from Japan. They scored a 7.41 out of 10. And this is, let's take a look at the site. So I had to go through this, the overview first. So it's pola.com/we care more. So the first part of this, in my opinion, is like, we need to figure out what this site does in the first 5 to 10 seconds. So like, when this page loads, which I don't know why it's taking a while to load, that could be my Wi-Fi or we're having performance issues here. I think it's performance issues though, if I had to guess, because this is a long time. So immediately, super cool. I don't know if you can see on screen, but they're these like orbs are kind of like slowly moving, but I have no idea what Pola 2029 is from this image.
It kind of reminds me of an elephant. I don't know why. Maybe it's...
Whoa.
Okay. Are you scrolling
right now? No, I'm scrolling right now. Itself? This is like wild.
Okay. Another scroll hijacking. So as Ryan is scrolling, the blobs are sort of transitioning and moving. And they've animated... Oh, okay. Now that's amazing. So the blobs have kind of morphed into characters.
This is like so trippy.
That look like they're holding... This is pure Japan, right? Like they have, again, it's like the foundation, you know, like the foundations of the of language is based on Latin in Western Europe. Well, their foundation, like, so design is often Renaissance, is like the sort of foundational thing. So in Japan, it's obviously completely different. So that's why it's so unique and intriguing. But just like the block colors, color has always been the hardest thing for me choosing.
I mean, blue and yellow are natural complements, so they're actually like pretty spot on with their color scheme. I still, my concern though, visually this is like a super cool site. It stands out a lot. Like I don't know that I've seen a site like this artistic in a while, but I still don't know what they do. So the first text we're seeing is, I want to help my wife's rough hands from this idea. Pola's self-taught founder, Shibuya Shizuki, created his own hand creams. So now we've figured out what it is. It's a hand cream product, which is in no way, from if you just took the visuals, could you get that. Now I get it a little bit, because the figures are holding, hands are holding up these like blue balls. And and I am, now it's getting... We're gonna have to link out to this website, because this is like,
you know what it reminds me of?
This is one of the most difficult. This is one of the most difficult websites I've ever had to describe in my life. But
Do you remember that the Disney cartoon Dumbo, when he drinks alcohol and there's the pink elephant, and there's like the music where it's like he's basically tripping out. Although the colors are not the same, the vibe of when you're scrolling and these images are morphing into hands holding these globes and sort of like caring for the planet. I'm seeing the word sustainable here, so that's kind of makes sense. And so as Ryan's scrolling through the text, the header image for each block of text is morphing from the previous illustrations, which I mean that's the sort of thing you'd see in the Flash days. I've never seen that in HTML. So that's really impressive. But again, it's like, it's beautiful to look at, but it's, you'll see it once and you probably, as a usability thing. But then
they're really getting into
not selling you cream.
What's behind the company, and like that they care a lot about sustainability. And like, after you basically have to go through what we're talking about. There are taglines, we care more. After you scroll probably, I don't know, halfway down the page, you get to, oh my gosh, like, the art alone is like totally worth coming for. But so we just went through whatever, like the presentation. I have no idea how much the product is. I get that they care about like sustainability. I get that it's a Japanese-based family-run company, But other than that, after like a quick scroll, like it's kind of tough to tell why, unless you just love Japanese hand creams, I don't know why else. I don't know what's keeping you to stay.
Do you know what? This, it's almost like an ad that you, but the playhead is the scroll bar. And you're basically, instead of you pressing play and just watching this morphing to each other, you're just...
Yeah, it's kind of like, everything. It's like a, it's almost like an interactive, like movie or like short film, because you're kind of like controlling it. To me, it feels like I'm clicking through almost like slides. Like I'm kind of scrolling down, vertically scrolling through slides. The coolest thing by far on this website,
yeah.
So like just to summarize it and we'll move on to the next one, is the art is amazing. Like the actual like transitions, the actual art itself, I think is brilliant. In terms of like serving the purpose of the website, I think it might, in my opinion, slightly miss the mark because I don't know what to do next. I understand what Pola is now, but I don't know where to buy it. I don't know how much it costs. I don't know what to do after this. There's no call to action. So that's my biggest concern with this site. What about you?
Did you manage to restart?
Yeah, and then it restarted. Like, it just kind of took me back to the top. So I restart. I went through the whole thing, and then it just takes you back to the beginning. So it's like a big loop.
So yeah, it seems like a storytelling arc, but yeah, I mean, really, you should always leave the user with a call to action. What should they do next? If the call to action is to close the website, all the effort that you've put into creating this kind of goes to waste, because like if someone just again wants to know how much their hand cream is or wants to, you know, they'll just close and go on to search and just say, okay, where can I buy it from? Rather than it kind of misses an opportunity to take a next step. But it's like, okay, this is where you can learn more about, I don't know, the conditions that this cream helps, for example, like what's the medical benefits. Visually wise, color is great. The text center aligned kind of is annoying.
Yeah.
But again, it's hard to fault a site that's this.
I know. So like, I would have, again, so like, looking back at the scores here, I would have given it higher on creativity. I probably would have given it 8 on creativity and like mid 6s on usability. And I will say I have a little bit more of like a benchmark here than I've probably done close to 50 or 100 of these, you kind of get the knack after seeing them. Design, I probably think it's probably around a 7 in comparison to other ones. The content I would also drop slightly lower. But the developer I would bump. I think that's, correct me if I'm wrong, Mustafa, some of that development is pretty tricky to implement the way that they did.
I have no idea how they've done
that. That says a lot.
I've been out of the front end, because I've been mostly doing in the last, I'd say 3 years. Like I used to do a lot of front end development just for the fun of it. It's on the side. I haven't touched the thing is with web design, you stop writing code for 6 months and you're completely out of date, like, you know, completely behind on the latest things. When it comes to animating vector graphics, that's been the hardest thing to do in a very performance friendly way. But it obviously has come leaps and bounds since I've tried to do my crazy animated logos. It'll be interesting. I mean, obviously, we're not doing like the website tests to see like.
Yeah, well, we can do that in another episode. I just feel like we lose a lot of designers when we get too much into the performance weeds. But I totally agree that, you know, everything we're talking about, we'll link, but there's totally worth checking out. I think they're really cool sites. Awesome. So last one that we'll talk about on today's episode is Flip a Clip. We were just in, I forget where that first one was from. I think Amsterdam, or is it the Netherlands?
Yeah,
it was the Netherlands. Yeah, and then we were in Japan. And now we're back with a US, I guess, publisher, digital agency called Cuberto. They're from the US. This one scored a 7.5. What you'll find is a lot of the top sites, a lot of the sites land somewhere in the 7s. If you see a site in the 8s, especially high 8s, like that means that the body of reviewers or the jury was very impressed by it. So we've seen a lot of 7s today. In other episodes, we'll pick up higher ones. But So what's interesting here is the mobile score is really high. So they must have a really good mobile experience. 8.8 on mobile is very high. So we'll have to pull it up on mobile. Developer, everything else is in the sevens. So not much to report there. So we'll do the same test. This is kind of like the 5-second rule of like if I was to work with a company or, you know, audit a site, what I want to figure out in the first 5 to 10 seconds is what they do and what, you know, what the next step is or what's my goal as a user? What do they want me to do? So let's give this a second to load. I think another heavy site. We're getting.
Yeah, that's the challenge is like some of the more creative stuff end up becoming really heavy. So then that affects usability. And it's the trade-off that you have to make as a designer. You want to do something creative for your portfolio and like just an interesting project to work on rather than another WordPress template. But the challenge is, the site was black and now it's white. Simple and intuitive and fun. So there seems to be this like line drawing style illustration. Is it that just?
Yeah, I haven't done anything yet. It's like a video. The hero is basically a hero. And if you're listening, it's basically a large white page. It looks like the hamburger menu on the upper left, the company name, Flip a Clip, looks like someone hand drew it. And then there's a download button in the upper right. But still unclear on what it is.
It says simple, intuitive, fun. It's this line style.
Here we go. Illustration. So that's, at least they have the value prop. They're coming out strong with best animation app.
Okay.
And they're giving you a little bit of like what the experience looks like. And then they're telling you who it's for, beginners and pros. Again, more value prop. They're saying it's simple, intuitive, and fun.
That looks like a loop. Okay, well now they're going into showing.
Yeah, now we have social proof, lifetime installs 30 million, creative time on site is 500 million. What?
That could be because it took forever for the site.
Organic social media views, 1 billion. It seems. Awesome drawing tools.
1 billion one now.
I'm not a fan of like these long vertical scrolls. I know that it's a very common design trend, but like on mobile, I like it. I guess on desktop, I'm just not as much of a fan. Like you're just constantly scrolling down when you're just like, I don't know. I kind of want it to be a little bit more concise. Things that I like so far, I think it's very playful in terms of like what it is. I'm still kind of confused on like animation tool is so broad. I bet you there's like massive Flip-A-Clip fans that are like, how do they not know what Flip-A-Clip is? But I've never heard of this. Have you heard of this?
No. I mean, again, that could be, there is a bias there. But even so, if you're an animation student and you're learning, so your teacher goes, oh, there's this tool you need to check out for your project. If you were to come here, I mean, in a previous episode, we were talking about personas. If you you've heard of this app, someone's asked you to check it out, as a designer who's supposed to use a tool, do you not just want to see the tool in action? You want to see, is it easy to use, easy to learn, is it affordable, is there a community that if I have problems I could ask questions, are there tutorials so I can learn it and pick up stuff quickly, is it reliable that it's been around long enough that if I create these files they'll be redundant because the tool will die and I won't be able to carry on using it. Like that's a big problem with design tools in the last 10 years is tool apps come and go very quickly, and it's that commitment to learn the new ones is always a tough one. It's like old school, like Adobe stuff, people will stick to because Adobe's been around for so long and there's that trustworthiness, where if a new tool comes along people are kind of worried. So if I was I draw passively with like just for fun, but if I was wanting to get into animation, I'd want to see the tool first up as a thing, and this scroll hijacking of like, you know, taking you through the story, I don't know what value does this really offer. Like you want to see the app in action. It's like you go to Figma's for homepage and what do you see? You see the app straight away, right? Or Dropbox, you just log in. Like it's clear what the tool is. And the thing is, sometimes with these tool websites is they focus too much on creating a portfolio example rather than
that's a really good summary. It feels really cool, like it does feel like a portfolio. This now we're into like I love this page. Like, I'm almost 75% down the page. I've been scrolling probably for a minute plus, which is, this page has to be insane. Like, we should check out the performance on this, because I bet you it's a very heavy page. But I love this. I think this page looks awesome. I love the gradient background. I think that you show the product features. It has a dark and light mode, and then it has a clear, like, personalize the app in two different color modes, customize accent colors. I love the way that this looks, but it took me a really long time to get here. I also think that now this is cool. I think this should be closer to the feature at the top, because this is more of your set. I don't care about social proof. I think a lot of times companies put social proof up too high on a website. Again, I always recommend A/B testing where you put the layout of your homepage. But I personally think that it's better to know what separates your product or service from another company. Make sure that that's up in front of, and focus on benefits versus features is like another tip that I always encourage.
Yeah, no, like what problem are you trying to solve? It's like when I was looking at design prototyping tools, like the one which I love using, which hasn't got that much love recently because I think it's one person develops for it, is a tool called Principle. And it's a great prototyping tool. The challenge is sharing it. So like InVision is great because you can share with a link. But Principle, it you don't have that. But what Principle does have is like this ability to export as really high quality GIFs or videos that you record yourself at. And so that's like a selling proposition. So you kind of, I know it's so cliche, free boxes with free things, it does blah, blah, blah. But if your goal is to sell the app, but then on the flip side, like to counter what I've said, it's an animation app. The first thing you see is an animation probably created in the app. I get it. It makes sense. But it's just, I think you want to kind of show what it's capable of. But then maybe they have tested it with people. And again, I just feel all of the sites that we've seen so far, it was hard to tell what the main call to action is. Although, to be fair to this site, there was a big download button on the top right corner, which is probably the first thing people are going to do anyway. I just want to see the app. If you're not going to show me,
yeah, I'm so myself. To summarize, I think creativity wise, again, very high, very cool. Download button is in the upper right, fixed. Call to action button's clear of what they want users to do. The long scroll, the performance, I think is the usability here, I think is lacking. That's where I would, that in my opinion is the biggest knock.
Could you try tapping on the hamburger menu? Because I want to see what they animate there. That could sell it for me.
Yeah, hamburger menu, top left hand. I'm just being a little slow to the draw.
What happens? Interesting. Did you see the icon animates from the cross to the? That's cool. Why they've got two lines.
There's like a lot of really cool subtle things that these designers are sharp. Like they're doing really cool. No detail was left unturned, so I think they did a really good job in terms of love. I also love the I love the drop down. This is like one of the cooler menu things I've seen. I don't know. Look at all the social that they're plugging to.
But like, if you tap the hamburger menu, it basically drops down like almost a hero image. It says about support community and Flip School. I think it said. That shouldn't be behind a menu. That should just be the first thing you see. And then, like, you could say, like, the link's on the left-hand side, really big. On the right-hand side, a screenshot of the actual app in action. So maybe someone just animating quickly. It's like, all right, you want to know how quickly it takes to animate this thing on this site? This is how I did it. And you just watch it. And that will say, right, here's the call to actions. There's a download. Here's how to use. This is what the interface looks like. Then you can do the scrolling and creative stuff at the end. But it's the persona, right? It feels like it's not been designed for someone to learn from. All the important things are hidden. And it's like when you go, it's like there's that XKCD cartoon of like university campus, all the things that you want to know in one circle, all the things that's on the website in another circle. And there's no overlap because it's like, all I want to know is the address of the campus, the number of the course heads and like, you know, reviews of the course. That's it. But everything on the site is like, pictures of campus, the cafeteria, but nothing that you actually want as a user. And that's the problem with this website. Is all these websites we've looked at are beautiful, but where do I go next? I suppose Wax Poets did have more.
Yeah, no, they were clear with their call to action. I mean, I think they, I think like that was the only one that had the best they was very clear. They want you to pay for the subscription so you can get their type of content. They teased out two free articles so you get a taste of it. The Japanese one was just, I think, a really cool way to tell, you know, a story about a product. I don't think it functions well as a website, especially if you're trying to sell a product. I think it might be missing the mark. I had no idea what to do afterwards. And then the Flip-A-Clip is, you know, they had a call to action that was clear, but the usability was a little, the scroll was way too much. The performance definitely was going to be impacted. So it's probably, it took a long time to load, which could result in users bouncing before the page even loads. But I will say this, I'm glad that we did this. I think all of these agencies / designers are incredibly talented. And I think part of the nature of like being a UX designer is getting inspired by other designers and other agencies, but also like taking a step back and saying like, if I was in their shoes, what would I do differently? And I'm sure if we had them on to kind of talk about their designs, there's stuff that we're absolutely missing for, you know, who their audience is, why they made certain design decisions. But I thought this was fun though. I'm glad that we did this, and maybe we'll do more. If you want your website or portfolio you know, reviewed by us, shoot us an email or follow us on Instagram and DM us, and we'll take a look, and then we can talk about it in a future we'll call these sessions design reviews. But yeah, this was great. Any closing thoughts, Mustafa?
Yeah, now one thing I've been noticing trend wise is I've seen a lot of pastel colors seem to be the thing that's becoming quite trendy at the moment. And especially on Instagram, I'm seeing a lot of, you know, the UX advice stories, a lot of people doing pastel type things. And I'm kind of getting sick of it because everyone's doing it. It's nice when one person does it and you can appreciate, but when that's the challenge with some of these styles is everyone follows. But these three sites that we looked at were completely different and unique, and that's what I liked about all three of them. I'm in the process of redesigning my website. I mean, I've been saying that since 2015.
This is the year. This is the year.
It's like, you know, a writer saying, I'm writing a novel, and how much have you written? I've written the title. I should look at awards, because the logo I've got, and I'm like, yeah, I really like the logo. But then it's like, I made the mistake of designing the logo first without thinking about where it's going to be placed. And now I'm struggling to place it in the site because it's basically a diamond shape. You know, it's like if you go to my Instagram, you'll see. And that doesn't fit on the web and doesn't work, especially on mobile. So what do you do? So, yeah, I think what I might do is, once I've got it designed, is get you to review it and then cry, as you say.
I think the number one thing that because I've reviewed portfolios for friends before, and my website, I use a Squarespace site because my thing is literally just like, I'm not putting any time and effort into it. It's basically a link bank. Like that's my purpose of having a website is so that it shows up top of like search results, so people can find all of my other links to social, YouTube, LinkedIn, etc. Like that's my goal. So I feel my site does its goal. It's fast. I made sure that the performance was good, but intent is really important. So a lot of designers, their websites are their portfolios. I've chosen not to do that for a lot of reasons, but.
So my website was a blog first and portfolio and a dumping ground of drawings and stuff. And I think one of the challenges, like cutting down that stuff and focusing on what it is. But some of the articles I had have been really high ranked. It's like I wrote a history of branding like in 2012, and that's been cited by 5 books. Because it's like pretty comprehensive.
Oh, that's awesome.
The order of like what happened in history from the 1800s through to like the early 2000s.
Yeah, send me that. I'd love to read that. It sounds cool.
It's been. It's. I mean, maybe I'll do. We'll do an episode of the history of branding. Because that article's been heavily cited, I like have a, almost a responsibility to make sure that the site stays like those links and stuff stay up. So, I mean, it was a WordPress blog, which I'm just transitioning to something called Hugo. So I've picked a tech stack I have no idea how to use. so that's basically what I'm fighting with. But yeah, no, I mean, coming soon.
No, I love it.
In 10 years.
All right. Well, listen, thanks everyone for listening to this episode. Thanks for watching on YouTube. If you haven't done yet, please go check out the Design Huddle podcast. We have a video version of this if you're listening wherever you listen to podcasts. So jump over to YouTube, Drop a comment, tell us you subscribed. We really appreciate it. We're a young brand, so we're just trying to grow our audience and reach more people so we can, you know, help educate and also just learn from other awesome creative professionals out there. So thank you again, and we will catch you on the next episode of Design Huddle. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Design Huddle. The opinions expressed are solely our own and do not express the views or opinions of our employer.